Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today, we're going to be talking about the beginning years of the Leadership Summit. Today, we're going to be discussing about the beginning years of the One Thing Global Leadership Summit, which began in 2013. And joining me today is Malachi O'Brien, Dr. Malachi O'Brien, former officer of the Southern Baptist Convention and also revivalist at heart and intercessor, and also Blair Phillips, who has been the manager who have been helping us organize the Leadership Summit for several years now. And we are going to be jumping right in on why the Lord is stirring our heart to continue on this remarkable platform that brings so many mature, seasoned leaders in the body of Christ together, along with emerging young leaders, in order to foster and promote the culture of prayer in the body of Christ. 2013 was the year. I remember, right in this room, Paul Asherman, the gentleman who pioneered the Jesus film, who have touched more than a billion souls on planet Earth. He understood evangelism. He understood the power of prayer backing evangelism. And in order to finish the Great Commission, he was insistent that the global body of Christ need to be mobilized and organized in such a way where prayer is targeted and the fire of prayer is red hot across the body of Christ 24/7 in every tongue and tribe. So he challenged our leadership team. I remember he walked into Mike Bickle, Alan Hood, and Misty Edwards and myself, and he said, "Will IHOP consider starting a global dialogue to promote and foster the culture of prayer in the body of Christ?" Because he had gone around the world to invite leaders from every category that's relevant to complete the Great Commission, and those leaders have responded, but no one is raising the banner in a global way in order to foster the culture of prayer that will enable the Great Commission to be finished in our generation. So we decided, okay, we're not sure whether we qualify as the best vehicle or group of people to host that, but starting a dialogue does no harm. So we decided to take a step of faith in 2013 to send out emails to leaders in the body of Christ, and about 500 leaders from every continent show up, and we begin that global dialogue. And both of you were part of that fruits. And Malachi, I remember 1 or 2 years later, we met you, and you were on fire stirring up prayer among the Southern Baptist churches in the Kansas City area and around the nations of the earth.
It's actually fun that we're having this conversation today, and I hope whoever's listening to this, now and in the days ahead, will listen to all of this. But I remember year one, not as a participant, Blair, I remember literally I was watching the live stream of One Thing Conference, and you guys were doing the recap on stage. Mm-hmm. I remember being at home going, man, I wish I could have been a part of that meeting. Never knowing
now that you're one of our primary leaders,
and now I get to be a part. So it's kind of cool to hear the beginnings and then remember that moment and then to be a part. Because I honestly think that we have to have this conversation. I think Paul Eshelman asked IHOP KC, maybe not because IHOP KC saw themselves as the convener, but absolutely they have the relational capital, and the people look to IHOP for prayer, for inspiration in prayer, for models of prayer. So actually, I think he picked the right group of leaders to start the conversation, and I'm glad that he did, and I'm glad that now it's continued to where we are today, and I'm glad to be a part as a Southern Baptist. I don't make any apologies for that, but more importantly, as someone who believes that we need to multiply God's kingdom, which is more important than any one denomination or network or group of people, because we have to finish the Great Commission, and apart from prayer, we won't finish the Great Commission.
Amen.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable that IHOP see ourselves as a servant. It's a servant role. Convening this global dialogue through the leadership summit is really a servant role. And I watched the Lord answering us in a very faithful way. Your very own co-workers in the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, mm-hmm. during that period of time, was elected to be the president of the SBC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on fire with prayer and revival. I remember getting his letters about calling the church in America. And now he is the chair of the National Prayer Committee, right?
Yeah, and what people don't even know about Dr. Floyd was the year before he was elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he had two strategic gatherings, in one in Dallas, and then I think the other one was in Atlanta, just convening pastors together for one night, one morning, just to pray. And you think, well, that's not new, but it was new. And then he became president, and for 2 years of his tenure as president, he emphasized prayer in a way that it became viral across the Southern Baptist Convention and our 42 state associations. And then the president following him continued to carry that banner of prayer. So it seems like God is birthing things that I think personally are direct answers to prayers that have been prayed in the prayer room of IHOP KC.
Well, having said that, I just know that when we pray, God answers prayer mm-hmm. in His perfect time. Sometimes mm-hmm. speedily, sometimes what seems to be a delay is not a delay, but God is preparing everything in motion. So as we begin to watch this dialogue go forward, we begin to see God in action across denomination in America. There is almost no denomination, no label. It's almost as if the last 6 years, everybody's in the business of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to interrupt you again, but because yes. I just want to share fun stories. But yeah. even the new general superintendent of the Assemblies of God that just recently got elected, Doug Clay,
yes.
His first thing that he did was to call the Assembly of God denomination, which is globally,
yes.
you know, Southern Baptist may be in America the largest denomination, yes. but globally,
49,000 churches,
yeah,
yes.
yeah. Assemblies of God have a massive
75 million people.
Amazing,
yes.
absolutely amazing.
Pentecostal, yes.
So he called the entire denomination to prayer, and then even in the month of March and April, I believe, of 2019, in their home base in Springfield, Missouri, that he's calling all 700 staff members to 40 days of prayer and fasting.
Oh, remarkable.
As a denomination and as the leaders there in Springfield. It's amazing what God's doing.
Yes, and I remember in the early days, we had a dream. And it's the dream that the world will be saturated with the incense of night and day prayer, that every tongue, every tribe, and every language will be used to call upon the name of the Lord. And obviously, that seems like a very lofty goal, but with God, nothing is impossible. And to scale it down to America, we have 50 states. You know, and I remember the first year that as we sit around the table, we said, okay, there are three frontiers we want to tackle if we want to see the globe really be saturated by prayer through this global dialogue. Number one is the geographical frontier, which means that every piece of land and sea and island, there are incense arising. And then a time frontier, night and day. Prayer doesn't just go up in the daytime. When the sun set, prayer is still going on, and prayer goes on throughout the night. And then linguistic frontier, almost 7,000 known languages. And we begin to partner with the Bible translation movement in order to get the scripture in every known languages, in order for those to be used to call upon the name of the Lord in worship and prayer movement. But the interesting thing is this, we dream about the fact that all 50 states in America will be covered by 24/7 prayer. Now, fast forward several years later in 2016, 17, 18, we watched Franklin Graham taking on the state capital, taking prayer to every 50 states. We watched Awaken the Dawn. We watched so many national initiatives being launched across America to ensure every single state in America is saturated and covered with prayer. This is remarkable, Malak Malakai.
Yeah.
You know, these last 6 years has been amazing.
Well, you know, and I think about that. I mean, there's probably nobody that's listened to this podcast that isn't saying, oh, I'd love to see revival.
Yes.
I can't remember who said this, but somebody has once said that the first fruits of revival is increasing prayer. And so I believe that we're seeing God stirring, lovingly stirring and provoking His people through desperation to seek His face. Not just His hand. Lord, bless this. Lord, bless that. But rather seek His face. Lord, we need You.
Amen.
And it's only You that we want. Because without You, we will not reach every geographical frontier, linguistic frontier, time frontier. If without the Spirit, it's not going to happen. And so, Daniel, as I'm hearing you share the story, How long did it take you to decide we're going to do it? Like, was it a direct answer to prayer from the Lord when you were praying? Did Mike or somebody else say, Daniel, we need to do this? I mean, how did you say, yes, okay, we've been asked, we're going
to
do it?
And I want to add to that question, amendment to that question. And how did Psalms 96 become the key verse and chapter in Scripture for this? There's so many scriptures that talk about that could be applied to the leadership summit, but in relation to how the Lord confirmed it and how that scripture came forth.
Wonderful. You guys were asking very pointed question. Now, before I go into addressing the question, both in terms of how we say yes to the Lord and the challenge and how we arrive at the core message, biblical message that undergird this leadership summit, I want to encourage our listener right now, if you have been praying and you are waiting for the hand of the Lord to move in your town, in your city, on your college campus, in your family, do not lose heart. The Spirit of God is moving in this land, in your city, in your nation. And I have been in prayer meeting with elderly saints of 80 years old who are like Caleb and Joshua, who is contending for this nation and not giving up. I have been in a prayer meeting with children who are crying out with purity of their hearts to call upon the name of Jesus for the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit to come. You stand where you're at before the Lord. Stand in the gap on behalf of your family, your friend, your city, and your nation. Now is the time. Now is the hour for us to shift this nation through prayer and through fasting. Now let's get back to Psalms 96, and then I'll get back to the challenge question. Psalms 96 is the psalms that describe about the song that flows out of the psalmist because of profound gratitude. And we believe that the finish line, or rather our vision of the finish line of the Great Commission, goes beyond just saying yes to Jesus. Even though believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth according to Romans 10 is sufficient for our salvation. We're very clear with that. However, we believe that we want to see maturity of the body of Christ. We want to see the maturity of the bride. And one of the indication of maturity of the bride is actually the heart of worship. The heart of worship that's expressed with gratitude and songs and thanksgiving. So we say, let every nation sing unto the Lord, instead of just let every nation hear the gospel as the finish line. But after hearing and believing, that one of the exuberant response is the nation sings to the Lord. So as John Piper so eloquently said, you know, it's not just about mission movement, it's about the worship movement. Mission exists where worship does not. It ends with worship. And so, Malachi, you asked a very, very relevant question. It actually didn't take us long to say yes, and there are really pragmatic reasons for it. And number one is Paul Asherman is a statesman in the body of Christ. And it is written in our mission statement that we exist as an organization, IHOPKC, to partner in the Great Commission. And we have one of the foremost statesmen about the Great Commission, the gentleman who have been entrusted to lead the finishing the task commission. And he's saying to us, will you take on this topic of prayer to make sure it runs in tandem with Bible translation, with church planting movement, with compassion ministry, with technological development for the gospel? Will you ensure that prayer is right there at the cutting edge of the body of Christ? Obviously, it takes the Holy Spirit to get the body of Christ there. But all he was asking was for us to start a conversation and call our friends together to focus on what the Lord has for us. So we said yes to that. And we never regretted that. It's been 6 years. We have over 1,500 leaders from every continent who have participated in the Leadership Summit. And that's the reason why we are releasing this podcast right now. This is the first one. And throughout the coming years, you'll be getting a weekly podcast for us. Our hope is that through this podcast, you will have the resource you need to be inspired, to be equipped, and to be resourced to do what God is calling you to do, either individually or corporately, or even leading a movement, but to lead it from the place of prayer.
And I would add to that, you know, if you're listening to this podcast right now and there is something, a question that you have that we could help answer, we want to provide value to you by answering those questions, so feel free to comment.
You can also send questions to leadershipsummit@ihopkc.org.
Yeah. Say that again.
Again, it's leadershipsummit@ihopkc.org.
Yeah, so we want this to be a resource for you, your leadership team, as we move forward in these conversations that are so critical. Because obviously, I feel like the Lord's converging the prayer movement and the missions movement together. That's why we do the summit. Because it kind of felt like for a while they were opposite, like they were opposed, like we just do mission and you prayer people need to get to work, and the prayer people are like, we pray and you mission people need to like talk to God. And so, Daniel, explain a little bit, why is the convergence of these two groups so necessary?
Well, the key verse I would point out is in the Bible is so obvious, it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. You have Jesus saying, you know, look at the multitudes. My heart is filled with compassion. Mm-hmm. I want to reach every single one of them. And the first call to action is Jesus say, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray. Well, Jesus obviously going after those souls that are lost without shepherd. But Jesus say, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers. So Jesus put prayer and harvest together as inseparable formula. And he also say in John 15, abide in Christ and you will bear much fruit. If we want fruitfulness in our ministry, there is no other way. The branches must be connected to the vine. So it's prayer and mission are one coin, just different side of the same coin. You know, and so we know that as we pray to the one who is giving us the Great Commission, our burden and passion for the Great Commission will increase, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon the people of prayer to give them power to be witnesses. So the effectiveness of the vessel, the burden increase, and also God will change the spiritual atmosphere over the places, the city, the town, and the people group, and open the door, the effective door of the gospel. So prayer enhance the opportunity and the open door of the gospel, as well as preparing the vessel to be the messenger of the gospel. And when harvest begin to increase and the ministry begin to grow, there's a need for discipleship. We realize we don't have the necessary resource, finesse, and capacity of heart to disciple so many people. So that causes us to pray again, to lean on the Lord. So in other words, what we're doing here is prayer produces more works. Works demands more prayer. It's an unending cycle. The moment this synergetic cycle breaks down, it is where we begin to do it in the flesh, to do it in the human programming. Now, I want to transition the last point here because I think we need to point this out. Both of you are below 35 years old. Now, audience can't see your handsome faces, but both of you has been on fire and just serving the Lord as leaders in the body of Christ, giving yourself with focus, but you're not even 35 years old and you're giving yourself to prayer. Comment on how the fire of prayer is spreading among the young generation, even in the West right now.
Well, Daniel, for me, growing up, I started hearing a little bit of the messages coming out of the prayer movement, and a lot of it was IHOP, but not only. And my parents had a high value for it. And I watched young adults in our church and young children, myself even when I was as young as 8 is when my family started getting really exposure to the message. And in a family value, in a family context, it started being practiced. And I began watching that as a child. I remember my dad waking up every morning and calling us all to do family prayer at 6:30 in the morning. And so it started really affecting my generation, I would say, as young children, because the parents were responding. And so I would really say that myself, not even being 35, yet being 25, am a fruit of the generation of the Malachis and the elders and yours, Daniel, who have heard that message and responded. And I think I'm the second round of fruit from that.
And also, you have two older brothers who also went on the same direction.
Correct.
And you gave yourself 4 years to be trained in a prayer university.
Correct.
I mean, that is not normal.
Well, prayer is not taught. There are no schools that exclusively prioritize the teaching of prayer in their curriculum. There's not a seminary I know of or a Bible college that I know of apart from International House of Prayer University that does that. And I think that's part of the problem and part of the solution.
Yes.
My story, and I want to be quick because I know we're bringing our first conversation to a close very quickly. Back in 2009, real quick, Daniel, I was in a seminary class in Kansas City, and I was feeling like, I'm done with this. I know all the facts. My heart is cold. I watched a video of when revival came in 1995, around the same time Bill Bright was calling for 40 days of prayer and fasting. When revival came to First Baptist Church, Springdale, Arkansas, Pastor Ronnie Floyd, who was in his late 30s at the time, and I knew in that moment that I needed to fast and pray in a very special way. And so literally the next day I began a 40-day fast. I remember asking my wife if I could do it. She said no. And so I said, well, I still need to do it anyway. And I remember doing the 40-day fast, and God changed my life. He destroyed me for the first 3 weeks, and then he became more real to me than anything else. And so the hunger...
You were in your early 20s then.
Early 20s. The hunger began to stir. Man. And so from that point, I knew I've tasted something I never wanted to lose the taste of ever again. And so it became just part of my DNA, fasting and prayer. I love my Baptist brothers, but sometimes our prayer meetings have been a little boring at times. We've prayed to keep more people out of heaven than we have to keep people out of hell. And so there is a way to make prayer meetings interesting and fun and meaningful and significant. And so that's why I love this conversation, because there's a generation that says, we don't want, there's no rule book for us. We're just going to go after God. And if prayer is the way to do it, we're in.
Amen.
Wonderful, Malachi. Thank you for your contribution. You know, I am surrounded by young leaders like you on fire with the spirit of prayer, as well as those in their 70s and 80s. I have two or three national prayer leader group. They are in their 80s and they are not slowing down. We have great hope in this nation as we continue to press on with the Lord. Stay tuned for our next podcast as we have Mike Bickle and other guests with us in this studio.